The reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 9, entitled Brahma's Prayers for Creative Energy, text number 10.
Anya pritartha karana nise nisayana are engaged very extensively in troublesome duties in gigantic plans
of heavy industrial enterprise. The owners of such factories are engaged in finding a market for their industrial products, and the laborers are engaged in extensive production involving huge mechanical efficiency. Factory is another name for hell. At night, hellishly engaged persons take advantage of wine and women to satisfy their tired senses, but they're not even able to have sound sleep because their various mental speculative plans constantly interrupt their sleep. Because they suffer from insomnia, sometimes they feel sleepy in the morning for lack of sufficient rest. By the arrangement of supernatural power, even the greatest scientists and thinkers of the world suffer frustration of their various plans and thus rot in the material world, birth after birth. A great scientist may make discoveries in atomic energy for the quick destruction of the world and may be awarded the best prize in recognition of his service or disservice, but he also has to undergo the reactions of his work by rotating in the cycle of repeated birth and death under the superhuman law of material nature. All these people who are against the principle of devotion, of devotional service, are destined to rotate in this material world without fail. This verse particularly mentions that even sages who are averse to the principles of devotional service to the Lord are also condemned to undergo the terms of material existence. Not only in this age, but formerly also, there were many sages who tried to invent their own systems of religion without reference to devotional service to the Supreme Lord. But there cannot be any religious principle without devotional service to the Lord. The Supreme Lord is the leader of the entire range of living entities, and no one can be equal to or greater than him. Even the Lord's impersonal feature and all-pervading localized feature cannot be on an equal level with the Supreme Personality of God. Therefore, there cannot be any religion or any or system of genuine philosophy for the advancement of the living entities without the principle of devotional service. The impersonalists who take much struggle and penance and austerity for self-liberation may approach the impersonal ground guilty, but ultimately, because of not being situated in devotional service, they glide down again to the material world to undergo another turn of material existence. This is confirmed as follows. Persons who are falsely engaged under the impression of being liberated without devotional service to the Lord may reach the goal of the Brahma-jyoti, but because of their impure consciousness and for want of shelter in the Vaikuntha lokas, such so-called liberated persons again fall down into material existence. Bhagavatam 10:2-32. So far we have read one page of purport, and there's another one page of purport. So it becomes too much for me to kind of remember all the points of the purport in that way. So I'll start commenting on the first part, and then we'll see how far we go up to the second part. If I can't deal with it, that could always be thought of tomorrow. I don't know. Travel it. Not the first savory prayers before we attend to it. Om Ajahnivandasya Gendana Sarakya Taksyodhukitamena Tasmai Sigurvena Sri Chaitanya Manavandustam Stapitam Yenu Tadei Svayam Rupa Kadamyam Dhati Svapanam Jitam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Govya Vakirvina Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. It is explained that the materialists are mostly engaged in hard physical labor. The reason is because, basically, the material energy is offering us a hostile condition, offering us a condition which is not at all ready for a comfortable life, and one has to work very hard to get it. We can see that, for example, at the Mediterranean, there is a totally different mood than in this part of Europe, right? In this part of Europe where it's constitutionally miserable and where only by hard labor one can transform it into an artificial environment where indoors the floors are heated and the walls are nice color instead of the gray that is eternally constitutionally there outside. People work very hard to create that artificial condition. But in places where life is easier,
sit and talk all day, and that's what you see, Mediterranean mood.
And that's what people do. They sit and talk on terraces and like that. And you wonder how they maintain themselves. The perennial question when we go to these countries, how are these people maintaining themselves? We've never figured it out. Srila Prabhupada speaks here about factory is another name for hell. And a little earlier in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada called them also the dungeons of the demons, right? Factories. The dungeons of the demons, where they are developing their nefarious plans. Whatever may be, it is obvious that if one understands the law of karma, then one knows that one can never change the result of karma by some other karma. And that is the understanding a devotee has. But due to the illusory energy, it appears that we can. Just like it appears that we've been very successful in dealing with the material energy, that technology has truly solved the problem. Imagine if we would all be living in little huts, right? And we'd have to go out with our bullock cart to the market this morning. Yeah? And early morning sit all wrapped up in blankets and quilts or whatever, riding a bullock cart. This is more simple village life, as we can still witness it in India, where people are just facing the hardships. So we have solved it successfully. At the push of a button, the temperature is controlled. We are nicely taking care of everything is there. We can have big greenhouses where our food is being grown, although it's not all the season. We are getting strawberries in the middle of winter without any problems. Just, again, push a button. So, all glories to technology. What were people eating here in Europe in the history? I have read in some encyclopedias that it was buckwheat, especially. Here's like in this part of the world, buckwheat and potatoes. We still remember Van Gogh's paintings, of these potato eaters. And we are looking here at what life was like before the glories of technology. So, technology seems to indeed have improved the standards of life considerably, on the one hand. But of course, conferences like in Johannesburg or like in Rio de Janeiro about the conditions of the environment in the world show the shadow side of that progress. And we ourselves are also seeing it in our own lives. Who can calculate without a calculator, who can think without a computer, who can do anything without a machine. Prabhupada tells that story about the fisherman with his smelly basket, who used to have this fish basket, and he used to live on the beach. So At night, he would sleep with his head on the basket, because otherwise someone might steal the basket. So therefore, he had become very used to the smell of his basket. And then once he went to visit some relatives, and he was invited to stay in the house, he took his smelly basket inside as a pillow, and they were very upset, and they told him he had to leave it outside. And he couldn't sleep that night. He was totally attached to the basket. Yes. And Baba said, in the same way, a modern man always must have a machine. Yeah. If he has a machine, he can't do anything. Yeah? He's just like hopeless, helpless. And it is a fact that in this age, cooking sounds like a car workshop. You know, in the kitchen, bang, bang, clang, clang, you know, it sounds like a construction work site, and here a meal is being prepared. So much so has our life become intertwined with technology that it is unthinkable to exist without. And it is not only that the factories are places of technology, but the whole world has become a big factory. Everywhere, there are artificial conditions of life, and it is just progressing further and further and further. So it relates to that poem of Cowper that Prabhupada sometimes quoted. You see, several times he quoted that man created the city and God created the village. Sure. And this is in fact, Krishna shows us the perfect ideal model of society, village life, the village of Vrindavan. Is actually the perfect model. It is the perfection of life. One time on the highway between Vrindavan and Delhi, it was night, and two vehicles were coming from opposing directions, and one of the drivers was nodding. He was nodding. Anyway, people continued, and they were getting closer. And again, the driver for a moment, nodding. So we have seen, you know, so many times as we're driving on that road, how many crash vehicles there are, turned over trucks. So, you know, you could imagine what was going to happen. Well, in this case, nothing was happening because bullock carts don't smash into each other because they're not so stupid, right? Bullocks, they know, even when the driver sleeps, you know, they keep their eyes open, right, while they were walking. In fact, sometimes the bullock cart driver goes on the back of the cart, tucks himself in under his quilt, and says, well, see you tomorrow, old boy. And all night, the bullock is moving along because he knows where he's going. He's come there hundreds of times. And he goes to the market. And in the market, the man is working and selling the goods, and the bullocks, they're eating and sleeping the whole day. And at night, you know, it's the bullock's turn again. They're working in shifts. Right? So, in this way, it actually works very well. That is my point. It works very well. Some accidents did happen, because in the Ramas and Hiti you find many descriptions about what kind of what arrangements are there in case of an accident, in case of bullock cart knock somebody over, etc. You know, always who's responsible, etc. And there are many laws for governing these things in the mind. So it's not that no accidents happen, because the material world is constitutionally a place where there's always a possibility to either get injured or to die. People die in the most awkward ways, in the most simple, in the most unexpected places that are totally undangerous, and somebody manages to die in it. Somebody in the safest place, somebody manages to just get an accident, you know. It is like that. So, our philosophy is that we are not for ourselves going to make very complex arrangements to deal with the miseries of material existence. We will make simple and basic arrangements for ourselves, right? With the minimum of endeavor to create and the minimum of endeavor to maintain, so that we have time and energy left to engage in spiritual activities. However, for Krishna, we are ready to go to any extent. We are ready to maintain huge buildings at a high cost, at a tremendous endeavor, etc., to dedicate our whole life to this, because this is transcendental. Then we have transcended that material energy. A factory which is used in the service of Krishna is a positive factory, is a favorable factory. When the factory is printing Bhagavad Gita, then that factory is a wonderful factory. Then that is the Brihat Mridanga, and we see how Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very ecstatic to hear that Brihat Mridanga even more than the ordinary Mridanga, because the sound of that Mridanga reaches much further than the regular. In this way, everything can be engaged in the service of the Lord, as it is stated, Hari Sambandha Vastuna, or the vastu, the form of a particular object in relation to the Supreme Lord. If we can discover how to use something in the relation to the Lord, then it is all auspicious, whatever it may be. Now, many things an ordinary person really cannot see any use for. One has to be very, very intelligent to engage many of the things in the world in the service of the Lord. Like, for example, for most of us, alcohol is not such a thing which we very much engage in the service of the Lord. But sometimes it doesn't affect the Lord. Or many other examples. Like that, one follows a careful path in the material world in interaction with the material energy to use as much as we can everything in the service of the Lord. So in one sense, one could consider that the entire world is bhoga. It is bhoga, and that we are pujaris, and that we have to offer this bhoga to the Supreme Lord. And of course, before you can offer it, you have to clean it. Right? You can't just take a vegetable straight out of the field and just throw it on the plate of the Lord and ring a bell. Before, they have to do some work with it to make it suitable to be offered to the Lord. And then it is offerable. So in principle, the material energy is bhoga, and if we can offer it to the Lord, then it can be used. And otherwise, we don't mix with it. If we can't offer it, we don't use it. Simple. That could be a principle of dealing with anything material. And then it is simple and straightforward. Still, the devotee, there are different paths, let us say like that. There is a path where one is in the middle of the world, in the middle of using all the material things, from morning till night, and one doesn't have a second left over for anything else, but just manipulating the material energy. But if it's done for Krishna, that path can take one back to Godhead. There is another path, which means minimize one's involvement with the material energy to the absolute necessity. One lives very simple and renounced, and only for the sake of preaching one makes an exception to use the material energy. Only for the pleasure of the Lord one makes an exception. Otherwise, one lives very renounced and always associates with spiritual substance. Yeah. As much as possible, direct spiritual contact with the Supreme Lord. That is another path leading back to Godhead. So, it sometimes is thought that the second path is the higher path, right? And that the first path is the somewhat lower path, because the second path was direct with Krishna, direct association with Krishna, the real meditation on the substance, and the other one is just dealing with
the shadow.
That model of substance. The other one is just dealing with the shadow for Krishna, and then Krishna comes in the picture in that way. From the transcendental point of view, both are equal, but for the sake of establishing this movement, right, there is no doubt that the direct glorification and the direct meditation on Krishna is essential, is the most important. We are, under the circumstances, ready to work with all kinds of machines, and we are ready to work with all these artificial means and use it very nicely in the service of Krishna. But in the long run, we are aiming at a society which is free from all this false technology, and is just much more basic and simple, and where most of the time is used in direct remembrance and glorification of Krishna. So we are basically doing this, using all these upra karma products for the sake of driving upra karma out of the world. Basically, upra karma is horrible work meant to destroy the world. And everything is touched by this upra karma. It's like everything has a touch of upra in it nowadays. Upra toothpaste, upra soap. Right? We just heard about upra washing detergent and upra cleaning things that are not to be thrown in the toilet because they kill. Right? It's aggressive stuff, mean, nasty stuff. It destroys the environment and so forth. It's all upra. And we can use all these upra karma products in the service of Krishna and totally transcend beneath the use of that. We can. But one may wonder about that. Sometimes use the example of driving in a car, and one might be, if you drive for 3-4 hours in a car, right, at high speed, right, you have kind of become one with the car. You have merged with the car. You are part of the car, or the car is part of you, and it's hard to separate the two. And you just become totally in the mode. And it's not idiot, right? It's like doing something dangerous in front of you, you know. You are so caught up in the passion of that old driving that if you could just, if you'd have a button that you could just burn into ashes, you know, you probably would, you know.
Stupid, like
Russian, or a big boxing glove that would come out of the front of your truck, right? If you're a truck driver, imagine you had a button and this huge boxing glove comes out of the car in front of you. Would be tempting to give him a little punch every once in a while, wouldn't it? Because we get in the mode of the machine. So this is there is an element of danger in using all these upra karma products, that the upra nature of the product can still have an effect on our consciousness. And this is a problem we're facing in living our devotional life in such an artificial society. And we notice that it has its effect on us. In so many subtle ways, it is still influencing us. If one is a total transcendental personality, that's another story. But if you're not totally transcendental, then all these things affect us. And we notice it when we're walking barefoot around Vrindavan, right, for 1 month or something like that, back to the basics, and at the pool, our bathing water with buckets from the well, we feel all the withdrawal systems, we feel the purification of the simple lifestyle, and we suddenly notice that everything of that simplicity and that basic way of life that you can find in that type of situation is pushing us towards Krishna. It's all favorable towards Krishna. And suddenly we're realizing that in our Western way of life, we're always pushing against the current.
The current is just pushing us, it's dragging us along towards materialism. We're going towards spiritual life. No,
not looking at that. No, not looking at this. No, I'm not going to. This is untouchable. This is untouchable. Is this edible or not? I don't know. E420, what was it again? Was that the crushed lice that they import? Or was that maybe the bones, animal remnants that they boil down in gelatin?
I was in Vrindavan and they decided to send me to Australia and they told me just bring up the temple president there. So I did, and this is mid-80s. And he was such a nice temple president. He said, yes, yes, you come to Australia, no problem. You are welcome. We want you, you know, just tell us in which bank account we should deposit the money. Wow, fantastic. That's okay, the bank account number. And sure enough, you know, in no time, the money was there, and it was plenty, you know. So, yeah, buy the tickets, set up, wife at the time, ready to go. Okay, I came to Australia. The temple president says, welcome, welcome, come to my office. And he says, well, I'm so glad you're here, you know, make yourself at home, etc. Do you have any money left? I said, yeah, I do, you know. Why don't you give it? He says, no, you keep it. What? He said, yeah, go and buy yourself some clothes. Well, he's a real nice temple president. Right? So I buy all the clothes, etc. And then the next day he calls me again to his office and says, so, now how are you going to pay your debt? Yeah, are you going to pay all the money back? Boy, you told me that yesterday. Well, shall we buy this? Yeah, why not? Shall we buy it? We bought all the, all kinds of, we really decked ourselves out. So, then I had to pay it back, and then I had to sell paintings. Yeah? Okay, you know, so they sent me out with this veteran, you know, and this veteran painting distributor, and next moment I'm out there, and he takes me to a factory area, and I'm walking there with a row of paintings in the street, because he had a car, and I was walking from factory to factory with the paintings, long walk, and in between, somewhere at the side of the road, there was a sign, and it said, blood and bones, $20.
Whose blood? Whose bones?
You know, you kind of feel awkward to see a sign like that. So, looking over my shoulder, bones. So I came to the first factory, and there was a chicken outside the fence. He's thinking, and he's trying to get inside. What is he doing, this chicken? Anyway, when I came inside, there were lots of chickens, and there was a man, he was killing them all and putting the bodies on conveyor. It was a slaughter place for poultry, chicken. So anyway, I showed him the painting, he bought one too, and gave me the money. I almost felt like, should I accept this money? So he needed a plastic bag to keep the money in, right? And that's how it was. Anyway, it was horrendous. Horrendous. There was a sheepskin place with 10,000 sheepskin all drying, each with at least thousands of flies on it, times 10,000, you can imagine. Well, and the stench was unbearable. And then I came to a factory with a big, huge kettle, which was just bubbling. Monster of a thing, as high as Radish, right? So I was looking at all that, wow, what is this, you know? And there were all these containers, and then I looked over the edge of the one of the containers, and there were heads of dogs and cats and pigs and legs and tails, all kind of the parts that they don't really sell in the butcher shop. Those parts were going in the kettle. And, you know, that's the stuff they put into toothpaste and, you know, like, thickener, it says on the list of ingredients. Right? There's also some E numbers for some other Latin names, you know, some chemical formula names. Anyway, that's what it was. Right? So I got a first-hand illustration of what's going on. So
since that time I have been vegetarian too, because I think I mentioned the philosophers. Those heads were looking at me.
Ugra. So there's a lot of ugra in the world, right? And certainly we like to minimize our involvement with that. There is merit to it. Therefore, we should not become over enthusiastic, at least not as a movement. Right? As a movement, I would say our agenda is not to get too much involved with the ugra energy. As a movement, I would say we should have somewhat of a sense of direction towards avoiding it. Individuals in this movement, however, may have to and maybe adapt to work with it. I'm not saying that. I mean, if one is a computer programmer, it's not that you have to start growing cabbages. I guess there are different people to do different things. But I think that the leadership of our movement must be Brahminical, and that we should have a strong Brahminical mood that predominates our. I think that would create a safer platform in dealing with the upakarma energy, and also sends out a stronger message that we are only using it in emergency. We're only using all these things because it's an emergency. Fight fire with fire. It's a well-known fact. See, how do you fight fire with fire? Well, very easy. There is a huge forest and it's burning outrageously wild. Now what do? You get a whole bunch of men to clear a strip of land by hand, you know, and the bulldozers, whatever they can, they make it free. And then another strip, yes, on the other side they make free. And in between there's a bit of forest. Then they burn down that forest also, right? So in this way they create like a big area which is already burned. So there's nothing to burn anymore. So when the fire comes raging and blazing, first it gets a barren piece, and then it gets a totally burnt piece. So it works like a barrier. It can't jump over it. And in this way they try to contain the fire in a certain area. Fight fire with fire. Yeah? So like that, we are fighting these demoniac products with demoniac products. A computer for a computer, an eye for an eye. like that, you know. But in principle, it is insane. The whole world is crazy. In the morning, a big truck with biscuits leaves from Stockholm on the way to Madrid. And guess what leaves at the same time from Madrid? A big truck with biscuits on the way to Stockholm. Yeah? Why don't the people in Stockholm just eat biscuits from Stockholm? The people from Madrid eat biscuits from Madrid. What all that? Yeah? Miles and miles of forest have been destroyed. Anyhow, in our present situation, we cannot avoid it, living in the dungeon of the demons. We are living in the dungeon of the demons. And we have to deal with the materials of the dungeon of the demons. But we have to lead the world out of the dungeon of the demons. And at least that should be understood. And at least part of our movement should go towards showing another sense of direction and to show another type of consciousness and a hyped up spirit of city life, you know, London, early morning, people running in the tube, you know, their watches, you know, jump in the subway, there it goes, you know, stay clear of the door, a mechanic voice says, right. Stops, quick, out, quick, in. If you don't know where you are, you're kind of like totally lost because you're too slow. You're too slow. Is this the right train or not? People are already pushing, quick, 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 you've got to get in. You know? And before you know it, you're in the wrong train, wrong part of town. It's like high pace, you know, boom, 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 high speed, and anyway, the doctor checks you up, and take a pill, slow it down, you know, like, keep going, the blood pressure is too high, you can't have him keeping it up. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, I look around me, it's just everything. She's so intense. So, ultimately, life.
Three times in a day, the sandhyas. Right? People in India still live by the sandhyas. Village life, they live by the sandhyas. You know, morning time, sunrise, noon, and evening time. When are we meeting? Right? It's not like at 2:45. Right? No, it's like noon. And noon means anything from between like 10 and 2, you know, 10 and 3, that's all noon, right? All noon. Or we meet in the morning, anywhere between 6 and 10, kind of, you know. Or we meet in the evening, right? Between 3 and 7 ish, you know, or 8 or 9, you know, anything like it, right? Even when you go to Southern Europe, it already gets a little bit more like that, right? Not all like that.
Well, what time do you meet? 5 to 9.
You know? It's like only in Germany you can pull that. Nowhere in Europe in the world, but even people to get together at 5 to 9, but in Germany you can, you know, watch us all synchronized. I'm sure in this part of the world, all the watches show the same time, you know, but that's modern life. It's essential. A minute counts. We need to do it. So ultimately, the life of the Bhagavatam, the life of the culture of the Bhagavatam, the life of, it is not the quick life. That whole quick world where we live in, right, has brought us to the point where everything has to be instant results, you know? I mean, okay. Tell me in one line what your philosophy is all about. In one line, come on, tell me. What's Krishna consciousness? You've got 1 minute on TV, speak. All this whole mood, you know.
Okay, man, what's it all about? What's it all about? Tell me.
Everything so fast, and we too, we want everything instant result, you know. Hare Krishna, when am I going to get love of God? How long is it going to take? You know, I mean, okay, what is this Bhagavatam trying to say? What is this verse all about?
God, it's too difficult. I can't make any sense of this, because I have to think about this verse, you see.
So the whole pace of modern life is not favorable for a deep, philosophical, contemplative way of life, which Brahminical culture is really all about. The mode of goodness is thoughtful. The mode of passion is just do it now. Don't think, do now. The mode of ignorance is just sleep. Yeah.
So this illustrates that we are not in the ideal support for, we don't, the culture is not so supportive in the present condition of life. But in spite of that, the process is so strong that one can transcend it. But it would be better to create a supportive culture on where we can develop spiritual knowledge. With that, I'll stop.
I'm very happy
to
hear talking about this subject. Dramatizing the impression of really looking at the text, and not only at the text of the Bhagavatam, but actually the text of the Bhagavatam seems to become much more real and relevant than I see the text of this world also. And I just wanted to acknowledge that many senior students left this movement because they felt they were in the red.
When I joined, you know, I had a navy coat, right? And it was a good winter coat, you know. It was like expensive too, actually. It was not even a real navy coat. It was designed, but it was more expensive than navy coat. And the devotees said, oh, devotees don't wear coats like that, you know. And they took my coat and just threw it straight in the garbage bin. And instead, they gave me this cheap nylon jacket, you know, because devotees were all wearing these kind of jackets, right? Cheap nylon jacket, it was yellow, black, yellow. I looked like a wasp. And everything was plastic plates, but, you know, I came from like a macrobiotic background, right? Of biodynamic food and everything honest and like load of goodness. That's where I came from. Vegetarian, the whole thing in that scene. And then I come to ISKCON, and this is all bogus, you know, like, I mean, plastic is okay, you know, it's used in Krishna service, it's perfectly, it's totally transcendental, we're transcendental to all of that, you know. But now gradually, we begin to realize that plastic can be used in transcendental purposes, but it's nasty stuff, basically. It is nasty stuff. So it's nice, actually, if you have a philosophy of goodness, it's wonderful if you have a way of life that's also in goodness. It's not that you're against goodness, you know. I mean, I know we're transcendental, but it's not that we are per se against goodness. Goodness is a good condition, you know, if you want to. And the passion is a passionate condition. And ignorance is a totally ignorant condition. And so, if one wants to practice spiritual life, it's the nicest to do it. Goodness. Any other response? Yeah? We have some sickness that can be repaired in the body.
Well, the body can be.
Okay.
Or let's say it would be underground sewage.
Underground sewage. Okay. I can comment on that a little bit. Let's stick with the one example, the sickness, you know. We've talked too much about sewage today. We already had a whole discussion on the line, so we can drop that one if you don't mind. The medicine. I call this the illusion of progress, the so-called shifting continents, right? Because we are... First of all, we're inventing new medicines, right? And we're forgetting the old ones, right? Grandma's medicine, yeah, that it worked fine, yeah? Worked fine. But now we don't know how to do it anymore. I mean, like my grandmother knew how to pick herbs from the forest. Don't ask me, you know. I have no idea. The only thing I know is nettles, right? I can recognize them because they stink. But for the rest, you know, for the rest, I always wonder, and, you know, you look at the book, and there's the picture of the plant, and then there's the real plant, and then is this plant? Well, it looks a little different, right? What if I make a mistake, you know? I might just kill myself, right? What if I pick a poisonous herb, you know? Then I'm going to be foaming on the mouth and flapping, bye-bye swami. So, this herb picking business, I can never figure it out, right? Because I learned, you have to learn this by experience, you know. Somebody takes you and you have to pick them hundreds of times in the forest, then you know. Not to send you in the forest with a book and a picture and good luck. Yeah? So much is lost also. And you know, we cure a disease and we get a new one. Our old way of life has created so many diseases. And you go look at India, you know, and I see how like an 85-year-old man from the village, he climbs over a fence. You know? He just climbs over the fence, 85 years old. Here usually it's like, okay, wheel him in, you know, and there's a nurse and alarm buttons and etc., you know. And they come sprint by, you know. All this technology has turned us into hopeless, helpless creatures, you know, that has the need wheels. Helpful wheels. So I think if you look deeper, why we think that man can improve on the arrangements of the lawyer, but actually it should go for the arrangements of the lawyer. Take it as it is, and instead of being in war with our environment, live harmoniously with it. the Vedic culture is that culture. It teaches us how to use the things that are created from the world, how we are created, not like, you know, no ambulances, you know, just the ground comes door to door, plus you are there, the bitches. Give me that. Prabhupada didn't say that was nice. Who's, that's totally bogus. Where did Prabhupada say that that was nice?
He said
he said that. Fine. So Prabhupada was a chemist and a profession. But what does Prabhupada say? And he lived that life and made his money and maintained the family. But what was Prabhupada preaching? Yeah. He wasn't preaching that. Prabhupada was saying, yes, we can use all these things. But ultimately, Prabhupada was preaching. You read the purports about Yudhisthira and how the whole world was blessed and the rivers, etc. And he was prosperous. And you can read these purports are very strong about like a life, right, based on the natural arrangements and not on the artificial so-called improvements on men. But like I explained it during the class, we can use anything, everything in the service of Krishna, even the Upa stuff. And, you know, I've used plenty of filth this lifetime, and I believe in it. But, and it's hard to even find the powerful herb to make the Ayurvedic medicine, if anybody still knows. And if you can trust the Kaviraj, you know. So, it may not be possible, but we should not, so I'm not saying that we should not use it, I'm just saying we should not idealize it. That's not it. Very good. Nothing wrong with aspirin. Paracetamol brings down fever. Yeah. Yeah. So it's more than a drug. It even brings down fever. So it doesn't just numb you, it actually can reduce fever. And India saved many lives in the ashram. They are raising the water. They use it all the time. So it's in the world. The Ayurveda can't do anything. It saves a life. I'm not against it. But I'm just propagating a culture which is closer to our philosophy. Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, just don't walk. You see, the Vedic approach is, the Indian approach is just don't walk. And, you know, just die, you know, instead of throwing a kidney machine. Just die if the kidney's dead. Okay, just die. Say Hare Krishna and die. That's okay. Don't worry so much. Just die. And some people live anyway till 100, and some die young. And it's the same thing. You know? It didn't really solve anything. It's shifting the burden. But it's not that we're speaking out against, we just but understand the principle that the mode of goodness has value for getting a good basis for spiritual life, and that therefore our movement would do well if it could adopt the mode of goodness a little more. Things would get better. If more good, the pleasures go better.
When I argument to a man who's lived a life, a good life somewhere, like the man in India, when you have no problems, the old man in India can jump over, and if he's 80 years old, he can jump over the trees, the man said, you are crazy. India, there is dirt, there's pimples and some malaria. How can you say that our technology is that we have so many medicines that everything can be nice and clean? It is propaganda. I will never know before in India.
Prabhupada said that when the British came to India, they started technology. They made the railway net and they made factories. And at that time, all the intellectuals, they moved out of the villages. And Prabhupada said, the villages went from the mode of goodness straight into the mode of ignorance. Right? And it became a whole sudra atmosphere in the villages. And instead of piety being maintained in standards of cleanliness, now they were dirty and so on. So, village life is also lost. Anyway, it's a secondary point. It is a subsidiary point. It is simply support. It's not transcendental. It doesn't matter where you are, whether you drive a truck or a bullock cart. You only chant Hare Krishna. You can chant Hare Krishna in a truck and be a Maya on a bullock cart. So that's not the point. The point is chant Hare Krishna. And but the support we do need for a movement at large and the mode of goodness for all of us. And with that, I want to stop because it came away. Thank you very much.